Good morning, folks. Great to be with you. I have had the privilege of traveling around various places, but there's nothing like getting back together with God's people without these restrictions on. It's so wonderful. You know, next Saturday, my one and only daughter, our one and only daughter, is getting married. So we're working hard right now. Make sure that all comes together. And, you know, one of the things that's happened, though, while we're getting ready is we look around our house and we think, you know, we should have done some renovating. Spruce that place up a little. But anyway, from time to time, we look at our houses and we think we need to renovate. Anybody in that boat with me need to renovate? Probably a few of you. One of our favorite shows is called Unsellable Houses. These twin sisters, they go into houses that aren't selling and they fix them up and they sell them often for a huge increase in profit. But it's just the power of renovation. But renovating doesn't always need to be like knock out all the walls and redo the whole place. Another show we watch is called No Demo Reno. I don't know if you've seen that one. Anyway, this lady comes in and just works with the existing structures and bones and just redoes it, and people come in and, of course, blow it away by their work. But you know what? There's a lot of God's people that need a reno of the heart right now. And it might be from all the toll that COVID has taken, might be from different circumstances that have come into life, but we need a reno of the heart. And it's not only individuals, it's churches. So many churches I'm aware of have had rough waters because of all the COVID issues. And it's affected our hearts. It's affected our joy. It's affected our sense of purpose, all those things. And we are in need of a renovation of the heart. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to take you to a text in John chapter 20 where the disciples there had like this amazing heart renovation that took place basically like that. But it shows the power of Christ to renovate our hearts. I'm going to be talking about different ways. But let's read that text. Would you stand with me as we read John chapter 20, starting in verse 19? We'll just stand in honor of the Word of God. John 20, starting in verse 19, it says, "On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked, for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you.' And with that, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.'" Quite a moment in the life of the disciples where they had a heart renovation that was absolutely powerful. But these renovations are possible for all of us today. You may be seated. The text today gives us a before and after picture of the heart renovation that took place after people encountered the living Lord Jesus. And you know, that's what they do in all these demo reno shows, is that they show it before, how tattered and worn out and tired the whole place was, and then after it's just like transformed. Well, we have a bit of that happening in this text. And the first thing I want to talk about then is their hearts before they encountered the living Jesus. So we have the before picture. So we see that the disciples were together. It was the first day of the week. Now, if you read the preceding verses in the chapter, you will see some amazing things that happened. Peter and John had went to the tomb, and, they found it empty. Mary Magdalene had encountered the living Lord Jesus, and so on. So the reports are out that Jesus is alive, but these guys are locked in fear, not really believing it. And so they're locked up in fear. They are afraid. They got the doors bolted. They have all the security in place that they can to try to block the Jewish leaders from coming to get them too after they've gotten Jesus. Someone wrote, how often the contemporary church finds itself behind closed doors, fearful and ineffective, living on the wrong side of the resurrection. Interesting. But they're uncomforted by the testimony of others. The women had seen the Lord. Peter and John had seen the empty tomb. But they were not comforted by the testimony of other people. Have you ever found that? Maybe in your life. You know, one time I was doing premarital counseling. And this couple, beautiful couple, lovely people, nice match. And it came around to talking about the honeymoon. And I don't get involved with honeymoon planning, but it came up in conversation, and the lady, she wanted to go to some exotic place. And her fiancé, well, he was willing. At the start of the marital counseling sessions, he was willing. But as it got closer, he became unwilling because that meant flying. And he had this terrible fear of flying. And so we talked about, you know, all the stats, how safe it is, and all this. Didn't matter. And that's how the disciples were here. They've had these amazing testimonies. And didn't matter. They're still locked up. Someone read or wrote, hundreds of believers today live behind doors of dread and uncertainty. They are afraid of life and death, of devil, of the criticism, of circumstances, afraid of today, afraid of tomorrow, imprisoned in fear and doubt and worry. That was Vance Havner who said that. But before they met the living Christ, this is the state they were living with. Then they had lost their way. Just think of all the plans that the disciples had before Christ was crucified. We're going to be part of this ruling party. There's going to be a transformation of society. We're going to be part of this big thing. And all of a sudden, Jesus is crucified and in the tomb, and everything that they had planned and thought would be their future had been taken from them. They lost their way. So that's how they were before they met the living Jesus. But when Christ came into the room, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." So now we start to get a picture of after they met the living Jesus, before they were full of fear, losing their way, after Jesus comes into the room, kind of, you know, he's not held back by the deadbolts. He's just right there. But the first thing he says is, "Peace be with you." When Christ renovates our hearts, he takes out the anxiety and puts in peace. He trades our anxiety for peace when he renovates. Peace be with you. It was a standard Jewish greeting at that time, but we know that Jesus brings two kinds of peace. He said, "Peace be with you," two times just to get the message through. Of course, there's peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, taking our sins, taking the wrath that we deserve. But it is also the peace that comes by presenting our request to him, Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says. You can have this peace that is radical, that you do not understand, by encountering Christ in prayer. Any of you need a heart renovation with peace being added? Anybody? I think a lot of times we need a heart renovation of peace. We get up, we think about the world situation. We think about our financial situation. Yeah, there's a lot of things that steal our peace. So one of the renovations Christ does is takes away that anxiety and puts in peace. The second renovation that he does, grieving was removed and replaced with joy. So these guys are heartbroken. Their Jesus had died, and they're grieving. And he comes in the room, shows them his hands, where the nails were, shows them his side. And they realize, this is the living Lord Jesus. These things that have happened earlier in the day, it's true. He's alive. And all of a sudden their grief is gone, renovated, replaced with joy. Literally, it says, they disbelieved for joy. One of the things that happens is that when we encounter the living Lord Jesus, there is a renewal of joy. If you want some interesting reading this afternoon, go online and read about a missionary named John Patton. And he was a missionary in the New Hebrides Islands. He worked with tribes that were at that time cannibalistic. But the verse for his life was, I am with you always. He lived with this consciousness of the presence of God, and so he could be surrounded in these most life-threatening situations, and he's talking about this, you know, he has this peace of the assurance of the presence of God. It's amazing, amazing story. You might want to read that. But he was asked once where he came to that conclusion that the presence of God was with him, and so he could have this peace and joy. And he said, I grew up in a home where three times a day my dad would go and get alone with God. And when he came out of that prayer closet, they used to call it, they said his face was radiant. He learned from his dad that the heart is changed in the presence of the living Christ. And so he lived that out. And that's what's happening to the disciples here. They're heartbroken. They're sorrowful. They're terrified. And all of a sudden they encounter the living Lord Jesus and whoosh, it's all gone. And joy is back. How many of you need some grieving dealt with in your life? Well, there's a third heart renovation that we see here is that confusion is replaced with mission. He says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Interesting. Instead of just celebrating, oh, he's alive and all, that's great. But he takes that moment and says, I'm sending you. They had lost their way. They had lost everything that they thought they were going to be working for, their future and everything. And they come in and encounter the Lord Jesus, and he says, I'm sending you. All of a sudden, they have a mission again. Any of you lost your way? With your life, I mean your life purpose. You're just putting in time, day after day. You know what's interesting? You look at Scripture, you see at least a couple I'll bring to you. But Isaiah, he encounters the Lord. He has this encounter with God in the temple and comes out of that saying, here am I, send me. There's something about encountering Christ where we get this mission going. How about the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus? He has this encounter with Christ, and it's like, what do you want me to do, Lord? Have any of you lost your way? You know what? This is a principle that God has blessed in my life through the years. You know, I had, and I think I may have alluded to this before when I've been here, but pre-COVID, I had like this whole schedule and agenda lined up for over a year. I was booking well over a year. Never had that before in my life, but everything was kind of falling into place. And all of a sudden, COVID comes and 2 or 3 days is all gone. Everything was lost. So I had to go back to God and say, where do we go from here? And you know, after a season of seeking and prayer, he showed the way. And this past year, honestly, I've been busier than ever in my life. The impact has gone farther, as far as I could tell. But it started with encountering the living Christ, and he gives a mission. Now, should COVID be over, I'm praying again. This summer, that's what my posture of heart is. Lord, where do we go from here? But I know that when we encounter him, he starts to give us mission. Churches need to do that too. Find a way to encounter him over a season until that solid conviction of this is where we go forms in your hearts. So that's the third renovation. Fourth renovation that he does in our heart, deadness is replaced with life. So he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That's quite a statement. I don't know, sounds kind of weird, somebody breathing on you. How many of you like to have people breathe on you? Not our favorite thing. But here he says he's breathing on them, receive the Holy Spirit. It's a symbolic giving of the Holy Spirit. And that we see in all its fullness at Pentecost. But the significance of this wording is very, very profound, because there's two times in Scripture where this happens before this event. And they're both in the Old Testament. The first one is in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 7, where God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, and then he breathed on him. And Adam comes to life. Then we see in the book of Ezekiel, the valley of the dry bones, and the wind of God's Spirit breathes on him, and then all of a sudden these bones start coming together and coming to life. It's the most kind of bizarre vision, but it's about the power of the living Spirit of God. Any of you need some deadness renovated out of your heart, replaced with life? It's the power of the Holy Spirit when we encounter the living Christ. I think a lot of us can use that from time to time, where deadness is replaced by life. One commentary wrote this: too often the institutional church has not been breathed on and consequently has lacked the spiritual authority to deal with sin. It becomes a do-good club enmeshed in a maze of legalisms, or simply a friendly collection of people, but there's no loosing of sin. The life isn't there. But the power and life are found when we meet the living Christ and are filled with his Spirit. Again, I just point you to some reading. Story of Jim Cimbala and the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York City. How that whole church was just really on the last legs. A handful of people. He had one of his ushers stealing his offerings. I think it was one of the ushers. And now you go online today and you see their choir singing just powerful, spirit-anointed stuff. And started... as he sought God in prayer over a season of time, they still make prayer a huge part of their operation. But the life and the power are there because they're encountering the living Lord Jesus as a congregation. Heart renovation number 5, weakness is replaced with authority. If you do not forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. This is a really tough passage to deal with. I think what Jesus is saying here is that he's committing to the disciples the message of forgiveness, where he can say, this is the standard by which you can be forgiven. You go to Christ in repentance and faith, and your sins are dealt with. But he's giving them an authority to proclaim this. This is something that's being taken from the church at this time. He is saying to the church or to these disciples, you are my authorized agents to proclaim forgiveness of sins. How many of you consider yourself an authorized agent of Almighty God? Carrying the message of Jesus. What a difference it makes when we see ourselves that way, but that happens in the presence of the living Lord. My thought to you today is this. When we meet with Jesus, he renovates our hearts. When we meet with Jesus, he renovates our hearts. The disciples needed to be released from a prison of terror and doubt. Jesus gave them peace, joy, a mission, power, and authority to live for him. And so when they met Jesus, he met them in their deepest point of need. And that was the same with whoever throughout the New Testament encountered Jesus. The sinful woman found forgiveness and freedom from her past. Mary, the mother of Jesus, found comfort and provision when she met with Christ at the cross. The woman who was bent over because of the demonic spirit found deliverance. The disciples, cowering in fear, found confidence and power through their encounter with Jesus. When we meet with Jesus, he renovates our hearts. Any of you need a heart renovation today? It's kind of like the no demo reno. You don't have to tear everything apart. It's very simple. Meet with Jesus and let him start making a transformation. I could give you a variety of examples of this from Scripture. One I just will allude to, and that's in Acts chapter 4, where Peter and John come back after being arrested and a gag order put on them, and they tell the church that, you know, these guys are threatening us like this, and they go to prayer. And they start to pray, and they bring their leaders before God. And they say, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Heart transformation in the presence of the living Lord Jesus. I'll close with a personal story. Happened a few years ago, but while we were serving in Nigeria, I was asked to be the speaker at a conference for Christian Reform missionaries. And it had been a very, very difficult time for us as a family. Lots of health issues with our children, just living in a hot climate, physically exhausted, all this. And I was supposed to speak to these missionaries and lift them up. And I was absolutely exhausted, worn out, discouraged, and beat down myself. So what do? My heart needed renovation that day before I stood before them and talked. Well, I went to a room, and I got down on my knees, and I stayed on my knees for about 2 hours. And at the end of that time, as I was with the Lord, stuff started to happen. Some of those burdens started to lift. Some of that peace started to come back. Some of that joy started to come back. Even physical energy started to kind of go through me a little bit. And by the time it was time to speak, there was a divine unction and a great blessing fell that day. I want to tell you, if you need a heart renovation, it happens in the presence of the living Lord Jesus. It happens in the presence of the living Lord Jesus. He's with us always, but we're not always connected very well. So get with him and ask him to renovate your heart. do that as a church as well. God bless you.